Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I'm going to be talking to Amy Lillard. She is a Kensington author, and I am really excited to talk to her about her start of a new series. I always love when somebody's starting a new series, and I'm in on book one. And this is really exciting. Amy Lillard has written a book called Dairy Dairy, Quite Contrary. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Whoa, this is exciting. Woo! You are, of course, already a USA Today best-selling author, and now you have this new series called Sunshine Cafe Mystery Series, and I love it.
It's Sunflower, though. I think the first one that escaped had sunshine on it. I don't know what happened, like the first arc. So.
It is Sunflower. I know it's Sunflower, right?
Yeah, because Kansas is the sunflower.
And that's my favorite flower. Everybody knows in my family, if they're going to get me flowers, they get me sunflowers.
Absolutely. They're the best.
They are the best. Positively. And this new series, I love it too. It's Cafe. I love in little towns, a little accent mark over a letter means a big deal. I mean, it really puts us on the map. If we open a little business in a small town, and I know small town, woo. So to have that little accent over the E makes it a really special cafe, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that is a really small town over Kansas. It's actually a real town.
I know.
There's only like 200 people there, and half of them are Amish, and it's just the cutest little town you'd ever want to go to. I actually made up the cafe because there really are only three places to eat in the real Yoder, Kansas.
Well, in Yoder, have they now designated a day of the year for you?
I think they should.
They have to. They have to do that, and there has to be a parade in which you're going to ride on a float.
Yes,
and hand out a prize to somebody for something. I don't know, the best cats, the best dogs. Yeah, you have to come out with a whole series, and they're going to have a day for you. And you're putting them on the map.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I kind of feel that they were on the map, like, for their Amish, because even though they're such a small community, they welcome people to come and visit their Amish. There's a lot of things that happen around it. There's a, you know, bigger cities and stuff that have a lot of things that happen. The state fair is a big deal in that area. So I just tried to put them on the map a little bit more, maybe. But it's a fun, fun town. The place that I stayed when I was there doing the last research trip was the place that my heroine actually lives in the book. But I just changed the name a little bit. It's a revised chicken coop. Honestly, stayed in the chicken coop.
Uh-huh.
How much fun is that?
Exactly. Well, you know, isn't it fun to be a writer and to be able to create an entire, you know, you have the basic town there, but now you can create everything in that town that you want and just have so much fun?
It's most fun ever.
Well, because you've already written a bunch of books before.
I have.
So you come to this with a lot of knowledge on what you need to do right.
That's right. What do you need to do right? I think I got it down this time. You know, that's what writers always strive for, is doing it right. And we just keep practicing and practicing.
And that's the lovely thing about being a writer, because you can keep going. I was recently just talking about Mary Higgins Clark. The last time she was on my program, she was 89 years old. So that's it. And this is going to be fun, because this series is going to be lots of fun. Tell us about how you came out with the idea for Sissy Yoder, and how she gets back. You know, they say you can't go home again, but sometimes you do. And
Yoder's not actually her home. She is from an Amish family who left the Amish, moved out of state. They went down into Oklahoma, which is about 4 hours from Yoder. I live in Oklahoma. And they came down to Oklahoma and began a life, and it just so happened that family members in Yoder requested some help. So Sissy kind of escapes her crumbling relationship life that's going down the tubes with her cowboy boyfriend, and she goes to Yoder to kind of help out. So it's kind of going home again, but kind of not. She knows a few people, but not very many people, and she's still considered the new person in town. Sissy is a closet. She has a secret identity. She does like an Ann Landers kind of column called Aunt Beth, and she gives out advice, which she has so much trouble taking herself. But this is her career, but she doesn't tell anybody because who wants their alter ego to be an 80-year-old grandmother when you're 30? So she keeps out all the secrets, and she's got her secrets too.
And it's fun. It's just, you've created a whole wealth of characters. I as I'm reading, I'm thinking, oh, she's having fun doing this.
That's one thing I do love about cozy mysteries and like rom-coms is you can have so much fun with quirky characters and offbeat people that can walk on and then you never have to see them again, but then they're the most fun to keep bringing back and keep adding to the mix to add some more humor and just make it more interesting.
Exactly. And a dozen books from now, you've drawn on many of these characters and made them important in some books and less important in others. So it's just fun to be able to do that. Now, I noticed in your acknowledgments, I love that you put that right at the beginning, which is also something that Mary Higgins Clark always did. She always put her acknowledgments at the beginning because she said, I am just so grateful. And now, one of the things you mentioned is an editor. And I wanted to look at it, if you could explain from you know, a very experienced writer's point of view. Over the past 2 years during this pandemic, a lot of people have come to me. A lot of my listeners have started writing. Some of them, you know, a different type. Some, you know, are just writing like their memoirs or family stories. Others are more, you know, far-reaching. Some are doing sci-fi. Some are doing thrillers, and quite a few are doing cozy mysteries. And so this is one of the things that I knew right from the beginning, that if you're going to write cozy mysteries, you want it to be a series. So you want to have this sort of lay down a sort of a right. base, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Now, when you write a book, do you write it completely and then show it to an editor, or do you work along with an editor?
We kind of work along together. Now, I write for Kensington, and I'll tell you, Kensington is so great about allowing the writer to have control over the story. I don't get micro-edited on developmental. Like, they let me kind of control the story, which is awesome and so much. That's a lot more fun than having an editor that wants to change every little detail. But, you know, it happens, too, and sometimes the stories are better for it. But my editor requires me to send in an outline. He wants to know that it's going to get from where I said I was starting to where I said I was ending in a normal fashion, in a logical fashion. It's usually I usually try to send about 10 to 15 pages, but the last time I think I sent him like 30 in an apology letter. I'm so sorry, but it just kept coming, you know. That was for a romance that I really felt like it had to be put together in a, you know, really cohesive manner. And but this one, you know, I send in 12 or so pages. He says yes. And then if I have any problems when I'm writing, then I go back. But once I get the outline approved, I write the whole book and send it in.
And then do you ever have to edit it? Or when you send it in, is it absolutely perfect?
Oh, no. We go through 3 or 4 rounds of edits after that. He makes his marks. He does more of a, like, just finding the little mistakes and anything big, like, you said he didn't have any children on page 24, and then on page 189, his son walks in, like, make up your mind. Which happens so much more than you really think, because you get to writing and you just keep it going, and then those words just are, like, concrete at some point, and you don't notice that they're conflicting at the same time. Then it goes to a line editor who really, if you get a really good line editor, they will question anything and everything, like facts. You know, I write a lot about the Amish, and so they'll say, is this really something that happens in the Amish community, or I didn't think this kind of thing happened in the Amish community, or anything. Like, it's January, and you have bugs buzzing above the light. Like, you can't do that. And not in Oklahoma, you know, or Kansas. And then you'll go through those edits. You can reject them, and you can accept them, and then I send those in. But that gives me another opportunity to look at it. And then after that, we go to galleys, where you get pretty much the book as it would be published, one page on a page, so you can see how it's laid out, if there's any problems with margins or spacing. And then pretty much at that point, the only changes are really necessary ones. You can't change somebody's eye color, or, you know, I think I'll just take that word out. Like, no. That's the really, really major things. Like, I think I named a character something wrong one time, and it didn't jive. Like, she was a different name in the another book that had already been published, and I went to the editor, the production editor, and I was like, we have to change her name. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, we have to change her name. Because then you have to go through and adjust all those margins again every time that name is mentioned. So I'm sure he loves me at that one.
Now, let's go back.
Yeah.
When you sit down at the typewriter, you're going to start. When you start your first chapter, of course, it's always, you want to get that one right. And I thought your opening line for this one was perfect. And I, whenever I remember an opening line, it's good. I'm going to remember this opening line for years from now. And when I go to, you know, writers' conferences or groups where I talk, I'm going to say, well, I've got the perfect opening line here. I thought it was so clever. I need an Adam and Eve on a raft and cry over it.
Cry over it.
Now, that is so beautiful. I mean, this one, I hope that they're going to do, like, you know, now in Yoder, they're going to have a gift shop, you know, dedicated to you. This one they have to put on a cup. They have to put on coasters. I want them to put this on everything, because,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be. I need an Adam and Eve on a raft and cry over it. This is beautiful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you appreciated it so much. I was sitting here thinking, as you were talking about first lines, I was thinking the big gray fish slips silently through the dark waters, which is like Jaws. And horrible and horrifying. And I'm like, was it really good? Was it really good? Yeah, Adam and Eve, that's not too bad.
No, that's not bad at all. As a matter of fact, tea towels. They should sell tea towels.
Hey, that's a great idea.
I want that on a tea towel. Okay.
I want it on a tea towel. I'll see what I can do.
You see what you can do. As a matter of fact, the Amish do beautiful embroidery. They could embroider that.
Yeah.
This could be a big seller. If people drive through town, they're going to pick this up for $10. I'm telling you, with that, right there, they've got a winner. They're going to love you. You know, you're going to bring in income to this little town.
Yeah, I was thinking about trying to go up. They have a Heritage Day in August, but our weather is so incredibly hot right now. I'm not sure I want to even be out in the... anywhere. Like,
when's your birthday? What's your birthday?
September.
September what?
20th.
September 20th. Okay. I think I'm going to write. Do they have a mayor in that town? I'm going to write to him or her and say that I think they should dedicate September 20th. Okay. Now they have it. Okay. It's going to be the Amy Lillard Day once a year. That's a good time. September, it cools down.
Yeah, it'll be cooler.
Yeah. They can have a, you know, we can start off small this year with maybe just, you know, you sitting in the back of a convertible waving, and the kids riding bikes, you know, decorated. I think we're going to plan that already.
Well, I've got the convertible, so we're set.
Well, that, my goodness, you're ready. You're ready for this.
That's part of the most fun when we go to
and I say we, my best friend and I travel together and go to these Amish communities to do research. And I have a Beetle convertible, like the most conspicuous car in that town. We're trying to do research. We're buzzing around with the top down. We did have to put the top up several times because it is a lot of dirt roads there.
Well, that's perfect. That is perfect. And I, as a matter of fact, I would have them, if I were you, I'd have them do that, do a decal on the car with that. I need an Adam and Eve right there.
You put it on the door of the neck.
That's right. You're going to be famous. My goodness. You know, there's not a heck of a lot that people know about Kansas. Mostly people just drive through Kansas. So,
yeah.
You know.
Kansas is a cute little place. You know, I live in Oklahoma, so a lot of people think we still live in teepees and things.
I know, because one of the great Oklahoma writers is Carolyn Hart.
Yes.
And she was one of my first guests here on Joy on Paper.
Aw. Yeah, I live in Tulsa, you know, and my son went to Will Rogers High School, which is where S.E. Hinton went to school. So my little offer to speak to the English class about writing books was kind of smiled at. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Well, the new book is called Dairy Dairy, Quite Contrary. And I'm sure you're working on book two, right? Right?
Book two's already done.
Okay. Knowing Kensington, once Kensington grabs you, they keep you going.
They keep me going. Book three, I'm going to write this winter, fall.
Well, it's fantastic. It's a fun read. I think everybody's going to, well, they're just going to be gravitating to, you know, to Sissy. I think she's a wonderful character. But then let's quickly mention a few of her relatives.
Okay, Bethel.
Yeah.
We got Aunt Bethel, who's a grumpy Amish woman who's broken her leg and is not very happy about having downtime. We've got her cousin, Lizzie, who is pregnant with twins and on bed rest, which is another reason why Sissy comes up. Let's see. There's Daniel. I love Daniel. I don't remember how much of a part he had in book one. You know, once you get this far into it, I'm like, oh, my, book one. That's Lizzie's husband. I really like him, too. He's a good guy. When then we have not a relative. We have Gavin, who's the newspaper reporter and possible love interest.
Well, you know, you've got enough characters here to keep you going for quite a while. You're very clever. I love the way you come out with things like the Bull in Your Eye Diner and, my goodness, a daily special chicken fried steak for $7.99. I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The chicken fried steak there. Yeah, you have to go. Yeah, chicken fried steak's the best. Now, the real diner is called the Bullseye Diner. There is a real diner. Actually, I have tons of pictures on, I have a Amish dedicated website. Like, I have my regular website, and then I have amysamishadventures.com, and you can look at all the pictures I took while I was in Yoder and see the real places. And I recently did a blog post on there about what's real and what's made up in Yoder. There's no gas station in Yoder. I had to make up a gas station.
Oh, wow. This is going to be fun. You're going to really have this little town's going to be on the map, and it'll be more famous than any place else in Kansas.
Thanks. And, I love it.
And again, mention your website again.
It's actually amywritesmysteries.com.
I like that title, Amy Writes Mysteries, and you certainly do. And really great mysteries, all of them. People can check all of them out. But the new series, which is going to be, I think, a real winner with Kensington, they've already come out with a nice, lovely cover, one of their great design covers. And it's a Sunflower Cafe mystery, and I think it's a winner.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
And book two will be out when?
I believe it's July of next year.
July of next year. Well, then I know where you're going to be. You're going to be right here because we're going to be talking about it because I love your writing. Just clever. The book moves fast. It's just a fun read, everybody. You will love it. And, you know, I like when a title makes me smile. And Dairy, Quite Contrary makes me smile. So, again, Amy Lillard, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. You are a joy.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Another wonderful Kensington author. I've been so blessed with Kensington. And, of course, my favorite is Carol J. Perry. I think of how wonderful she is. And she was my first guest in the studio, a Kensington author. And I remember when she didn't have the book to hand me. She just handed me a cover of her first Witch City mystery. And I looked at it and I said, oh my goodness, this is a real author. Because I will tell you something, when I started this program, I didn't know any authors. Know anybody. She was my first real live author in person. And so I am so happy that Carol J. Perry is with Kensington. She has beautiful covers. She just came out with book 12, which we finally had the wedding. And it took us 12 books to get to the wedding, and it's Till Death. And I hope you will get that book, because that's a wonderful, wonderful book. And she's working on book 13. And She's always working, you know. That's a fun thing when you become a writer. You always have something to do every day, really. You can work every day and just have fun. Bye-bye now.